for Christ's sake. Amen. Last time we looked in Song of Solomon, I looked at the first portion, and I've spent a little extra time in the fifth chapter of Song of Solomon, for this particular chapter is the chapter that the bride is expressing that which her beloved is to her. These blessed words are more than just the words of a man. These are the words of God Almighty, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as the bride speaks, she speaks as the Holy Spirit gives her utterance to speak. And so as she speaks of Him, and these different descriptions that she gives of Him as His head in verse 11, being the most fine gold, and His locks bushy and black, His eyes, the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, and His cheeks, verse 13, a bed of spices, His lips like lilies, His hands, that's what we looked at last time, His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His hands, in that we saw His hands being His power, His ability in the accomplishment of redemption for His people. His hands being His purpose to keep them in the world, and His providence and provision through great trials. In His hands, the Scripture set forth, are as gold rings, and that being no beginning. His power, His love, no beginning, no end. And then they're set with the beryl, or that word set means fit, or fitted, or filled with the beryl. And the beryl, you remember, was one of the precious stones that was upon the breastplate of the high priest. And that being a picture of the bride of Christ, the elect, the stone of the elect. And she said His hand is filled with the beryl, those that God Almighty has everlastingly loved. So this evening, I would like for us to look at the last part of that 14th verse for just a few moments. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Now, the Word of God is written really in the simplest but the deepest of terms. Now, to understand the Word of the Lord requires a new mind, new ear, new heart that is made to hear the still, small voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple terms. I was thinking when we were singing a moment ago, when Gary was leading us in that song, "To God Be the Glory." And I was reading today in preparation for a message coming up on this thing of the glory of God. And as I began to read, I began to think, what is the glory of God? That's a simple term, the glory of God. And if you'd asked somebody, what is the glory of God? You see what I'm saying? What? The glory of God. When it comes right down to it, the essence of the glory of God is the opinion that Almighty God has set forth of Himself. Now, I'll show you that another time. I'll give you something to think on. That has nothing to do with this message tonight. The glory of God. The Lord has promised that His sheep hear His voice. You know they do. And He says they follow Him. They believe Him. They trust Him. Parables were spoken by the Savior when the disciples asked the reason. Why do you speak in parables? Why do you tell these stories, these earthly stories with a heavenly meaning? Why? And He said in Matthew 13:11, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. There's some mysterious truth that is set forth in the Word of God. Simple terms, but the deepest of all terms. We take these terms. We've looked at some of them. Sanctification, propitiation, words that we've heard. What do they mean? What is it talking about? Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. The secret of the Lord, Psalm 25:14, is with them that fear Him, that respect Him, that reverence Him. The secret. Those things that God Almighty reveals. And He will show them His covenant. That's a blessing. I think the greatest blessing that a man or a woman will ever have in this life is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. I know that's true. The Lord said in John 17, this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou sent. That's the greatest blessing. You think, what would a man give in exchange for knowing? I'm talking about effectually knowing Him, trusting Him, believe in Him, knit to Him. What blessing! I know men speak of healing and riches and houses, and when it comes right down to it, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would he give? That's the greatest blessing. Heavenly spiritual blessings, Bob, in heavenly places, to know Him. It's truly a miracle of God's grace for a sinner to possess a heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. That's a rare thing. In the visible body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people that assemble together, there's some. Now you know that's so. There's some that truly do, Carl, hunger. There's some that do. That's a rare thing. To find someone that Almighty God has given a heart that hungers after Him. Well, tonight I want to look at the last part of that 14th verse. To ask for revelation from the Spirit of God to discover to our heart, our new mind, the truth concerning His belly. His belly. That's what the bride said. She said, His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. This word belly is the same word found in verse 4 of this chapter that is interpreted bowels. My beloved put in His hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for Him. Now that word, bowels, and this word, belly, come from the same root word that means heart. It means the heart. It speaks of the love that Christ has for His people. That's what He's talking about. His belly. Herein we find an amazing truth that Almighty God loves His people. I'm talking about truthfully loves. We know that by faith. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, we've quoted that so many times, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Now, we know that He delights to bless His bride, to bless her with a knowledge of Himself. He desires her company, her companionship. He's determined to bring her into the place of His glory and His presence. He's promised to provide for her now and forever. According to His Father's riches in glory, He has covenanted with Himself, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, to save her from her sins. And He shall not fail. He shall robe her in the robe of His righteousness, and He shall present her spotless and blameless in Himself before the Father. He loves her, His belly, His heart. Oh, the miracle of God's grace to possess such a standing, that even though the bride fell in Adam, she never fell from her standing in the Beloved. She's never deviated from her standing in Him. She was shapen in iniquity. That's absolutely so. She was born in sin. She came forth from her mother's womb speaking lies. But in the eternal purpose of God Almighty, as being considered and found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal surety of the sheep, she stood in Him without fault in Him. She stood in Him without fault. In Adam, she fell. In Him, she stood. He had His heart of love upon her. The Father looked to the surety to answer for her and not her herself. Now that's an amazing thought. Was there ever a time, I can use that word, in eternity, that the sheep chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen in Him, was there ever a time, that's the only word I know to use, I can't figure another word, was there ever a moment that she was not considered in Him? Well, you know the answer to that. She's always been considered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her surety, she fell in Adam, but she was God's sheep. She fell in her representative, the head, Adam, the head, but she was in Christ. He redeemed her. He bought her back. Why? Because He loved her. She was His. "I've always loved you," He said. "Never did I not love you. I've always." His heart in Christ, she was secure. Fell in Adam. Was there a possibility that Christ would not redeem her? No. This is the Father's will, that of all that the Father hath given me, that I should lose none. Was there a chance that she would not be with Him? No way. Oh, His heart. In Adam, she is nothing but putrefying sores. From the sole of her foot to the crown of her head, in her, there was no good thing but being considered in her surety. God Almighty looked to Him and not to her. He bought her, paid her debt in Him. She was justified freely by His grace. In time, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and actually paid her debt. But He was crucified from the foundation of the world for her in the mind and will and purpose of Almighty God. Mystery. Mystery. Time has made no disturbance upon God's promise and will and love for His own. Nothing can mar her completeness in Christ, for He is her beauty. Here is the reason for God's love and heart toward the bride. She's found in Him her husband, her companion, her redeemer, and her friend. Born in Adam, born in sin, born in rebellion, but ordained to be born again in the Lord Jesus Christ, in time, born from above. How marvelous is His belly, His heart, that loves her even while she was in her filth. He loved her. Turn with me to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. You've read this before. Ezekiel 16, verse 5. The Scripture says, "None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood," you notice the emphasis on her blood, "when you were in your blood, in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, lived. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to exceeding ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. And when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." I looked at that word, that phrase, that last one, "thou becamest mine," and lest someone should say, "You see there? See there? That's when she became his. Before she wasn't his. That's when she became his right there." That means, "and becamest mine," the interpretation of those two words is to come to pass. Thou becamest mine. It came to pass that you were mine. In the eternal will and purpose of Almighty God, God has chosen a people. They come into this world just like anybody else. And in their own blood, they are filthy and vile and putrefying sores. Considered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, chosen them, calls them out of darkness, and it comes to pass who they are. God Almighty reveals them, and they becamest mine. The bride shall surely be brought to know Him experientially, and that in the time of love. When it pleases God to cross the sinner's path with the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in the gospel. Paul said in Galatians 1:15, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, His heart." She said, "His belly is as bright ivory." His belly, His heart. His heart is a distinguishing heart. That's what it is. I know everyone, not everyone, but most people, have this attitude about Almighty God. He's a loving God, and He is. He's a precious God that longs after, they say, the desire to save everybody because He has a heart for everybody. That's not the way He reveals Himself to be. His love is a distinguishing love. He said, "I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. His belly, His heart, He has mercy and compassion on whom He will. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. His belly, His heart. What is it? It's distinguishing. As a father pitieth or has compassion on his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That prodigal son that left, told his dad, I want what's coming to me, and went off in righteous living. That's what we did. That's where we are. Righteous living, fell into captivity and stuff. But let me ask you this. Was he ever not the son? Was he ever not that father's son? The scripture says, because ye are sons. That's what I'm talking about. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son. And you cry, Abba, Father. Why? Because you're our sons. Chosen. Predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Because you are sons. Because you are sheep. Fallen sons. Dead in trespasses and sins sons. Lost sons. Lost sheep. But you're his. If he chose you. Oh, his heart. The heart. His heart is an unchangeable heart. Thankfully, he doesn't change. Hebrews 7:24 says, this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. When I think of the mercy of Almighty God, my thought is this: you mean to tell me that Almighty God chose me from the foundation of the world, considered me in the person of His Son, loved me, chose me, a sheep, a son, ordained me to eternal life, and in my federal head, Adam, I fell, and in my own blood, polluted, in myself, polluted, considered in Him, considered in the Lord Jesus Christ, a son, a sheep, beloved. You mean to tell me that Almighty God, who changed not, would have a heart for me, that He chose me? That's right. You mean to tell me that Almighty God would show compassion on me because it pleased Him to do so? That's right. If He has loved His own with an everlasting love, and He changes not, then His love changes not for those that He's purposed to love. Malachi 3:6, He said, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You that believe, can you not enter into the bride's description and say, oh, his belly, his heart. His heart is a holy heart that exhibits a holy love. God's heart, the belly of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a distinguishing and an unchangeable heart. But contrary to what I was talking about a while ago, about men talking about His love just being just free to anybody that desires to accept it, know this: He is holy and shall deal in justice and judgment with sin. He shall either deal in sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as the elect's substitute, or He shall deal with that person in their own sin. What did it cost to show mercy and compassion to a sinner? What did it cost Almighty God to show mercy to one of His own, one of His elect. I tell you what it cost. It cost the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord from the cross cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Why hast Thou forsaken me? It's because He promised His own, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. But He forsook Him. Oh, the heart. Sin and guilt was found on Him. And the Lord said, I'll not leave you. Oh, His belly is as bright ivory. Ivory. Pure. That's what it speaks of. Ivory. Pureness. Because of His heavenly origin. John 8:23 says, you're from beneath, I'm from above, you're of this world, I'm not of this world. His love, His heart is pure. Ivory, secondly, is costly. What price can be put upon the mercy of Almighty God to have a heart toward one of His own? That belly, that heart, is beyond price, far above rubies and riches. But He said here, or she said here, His belly is as bright ivory. Bright ivory. Ivory by nature, in nature, is not bright. It's very dull. Ivory has to be made beautiful, has to be polished. Now listen and hear me well in this. There is nothing that we do to polish or to increase the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know that's not true. There's nothing that we do that makes His glory truly shine. But it's the apprehension of His purity and His glory and His honor to me by the Spirit of God's revelation of His heart, His belly, that makes it as bright ivory. It's not me making it bright. It's the Spirit of God. You see, to our natural apprehension, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, there was no beauty that we should desire Him. A man, a woman lost in their rebellion and sin. Let me ask you this. How much beauty was there of the Lord Jesus Christ to you before He revealed Himself to you? There was no beauty. Did that mean that He wasn't beautiful? Oh no. He was altogether lovely. But to you, He was unlovely. You saw nothing in Him. You didn't desire Him. You didn't long Him. You didn't know He was dead. Oh, you could be religious. But the Scripture says of the bride speaking of Him, this is her interpretation. This is her revelation of Him. His belly, His heart is His bright ivory to me. Polished. He shows forth the luster of His essence now to me. He reveals Himself to me. His Word is beautiful to me. His truth is beautiful. And as the Spirit of God reveals to us His beauty, this is how the Spirit of God does it. He reproves the world. The Lord said concerning the Spirit of God, I go to the Father, but I'll send you another Comforter. And when He comes, He will, first of all, He will reprove the world of sin. That is, the world of believers. And that means, when it says He will reprove the world of sin, that means He shows them what they are. first of all. That's what He shows them. This is how the Lord Jesus Christ is made to be beautiful. Bright ivory. The Spirit of God reveals to God's people what they are. He reproves the world of sin. Secondly, He reproves the world of righteousness. Teaches them, the world of believers, of righteousness. That is, showing them that they don't have any except for the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He shows them. He's bright ivory. And thirdly, He reproves the world of judgment, showing to them that there's none left for them, that the Lord Jesus Christ has put away their guilt, that the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken of the Father for them, that they might live. Christ is made to them to be bright ivory. His beauty, that is revealed to believers. And then lastly, she says that His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Sapphire was another of those precious stones on the breastplate of the high priest. And the elect, the bride, the church, she's ever mindful. And she speaks often, knowing that she is what she is by the grace of God. That Almighty God chose her. He set His affection upon her because it pleased Him to do so. In Exodus chapter 24, I'll just tell you that you can go back and read that, but I'll tell you this. This is concerning verse 10 in there, but it said that let's turn there. This will be one of our last passages. Exodus 24. Exodus 24, let's look at verse 9. And then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in His clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel He laid not His hand. Also they saw God. They did eat and drink. This sapphire stone was paved. It was a work of paved sapphire. And it was the way the Scripture reveals that Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and these 70 elders saw the God of Israel. They saw Him in peace because, look back at verse 4, of the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ pictured in this verse right here in the altar. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. That one that was pictured as the sacrifice of that altar in verse 4 was the way by which they saw the God of heaven in verse 10. The God Almighty of heaven under His feet, that paved work of a sapphire stone. Gloriously they saw Him, and it was as the body of heaven in His clearness. He revealed Himself to them on the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body of heaven. Here we see the clearness of spiritual glory set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. His belly, His heart, His love, His perfection toward His bride. What is it? The Scripture says it's as bright ivory. She sees Him now. It's overlaid with the sapphire, the clearness of heaven. That's what she's saying. I see Him. I understand. All that I know concerning Him because His heart has been revealed to me. He's been made to me to be altogether lovely. Well, let's have a word of closing prayer. Our Lord and Savior, we thank You that You've given us this time to meet together. And Lord, just to consider just a portion of Your Scripture and to behold something of the wonder of Your blessed Word. How we thank You, Lord, that You've allowed us a time just to come together and just for a few moments to reflect upon the unsearchable riches of our blessed Savior. We pray, Lord, that You'd hide these words within our heart. Keep us for Your name's sake. Amen. All right, You're dismissed.